stateside. If you spent 5 minutes on Twitter, you will also know that this man is a massive, massive Arsenal fan. He is a friend of the show, Mr. Piers Morgan, the PM. How you doing, Piers?
Righty, I could not be happier, mate. I don't think we've played that well in about 8 years.
Well, yeah, to be honest, it's just
sublime passing football at its very
did
best.
You, the first goal, Piers, was like watching a kid playing FIFA. It was ridiculously good.
It was. Well, that was it. But I thought all the goals were brilliant. Yeah, I thought Ramsey's goal was Messi-esque. Mm. I mean, what the hell has happened to Ramsey? I have no idea, but I humbly withdraw all my criticism of him from last year, because this year he's been absolutely sensational. Yes.
And what about your criticism of Arsene Wenger, Piers?
Well, I've just announced on Twitter I am suspending all criticism of Wenger until the end of the season, and I'm doing it directly as a result of the Ozil signing, because I think
the Ozil signing has changed
everything. You know, and to be honest, let's be serious about this. Ramsey was very poor last season and deserved the criticism he got from many Arsenal fans. This season he's been sensational and deserves all the praise. Yeah. Wenger, to my mind, should have bought players of the calibre of Ozil over the last three seasons and failed to do that. Mm-hmm. And instead, he sold all our best players. So he deserved all the criticism that was heaped on his head, because that is not how you win trophies. Mm-hmm. However, it would be ridiculous to be an Arsenal fan right now, watching the way we're playing and watching the effect of this Ozil signing on the whole team, and not say, Arsene Wenger, thank you for what you did, because you bought us the new Bergkamp. And even Dennis Bergkamp thinks he's a new Bergkamp.
I know.
And I think it's been brilliant to watch.
Piers, it's one of those where it's the same with myself and with the Arsenal. I'm never derogatory. I will only speak about what I believe in that, and I believe exactly the same thing. Should have signed players of the same caliber. And when they were selling those players, what do you honestly expect?
Did we have the money, though? Did we have the money?
Well, now we're hearing, Piers, that he said that he didn't have the money. All I said is just tell people then. Tell people Arsenal fans ain't going to say
he had the money. I mean, this is we can't let Wenger off the hook completely, because he had the money. We have, I'm told, $200 million in the bank, right? Mm. And we have plenty of money. But look, we bought plenty of players in the last two seasons. Yeah. They just weren't of the highest caliber, in my view. Whereas we sold players of the highest caliber. So when you sell in two seasons Van Persie, Song, Fabregas, and Nazari, you are losing four world-class players. And if you don't replace like with like, you're not going to win trophies. And instead, we allowed Manchester United to romp away with the title by giving them our best player, and he was their best player. So this was chronically bad management by Wenger, and that's why I lost patience with him. That's why I thought that he'd lost the stomach to be competitive.
Can I say,
I just thought he had been outthought by Alex Ferguson and others. But the Ozil signing, when he smashed all his own principles, smashed his own transfer record, and he bought a player
by
who was genuinely one of the best players in the world.
Well, what I was going to say as well, Piers, is that like there's Arsenal fans who would feel they felt like that, but because they're not public about it, they can slip off back into we love Wenger. But at the same time,
well, I remember the Villa game, right?
Yes.
The Villa game was a debacle. First game of the season,
it wasn't nice.
We'd had a terrible transfer window to that point. We hadn't signed anybody. Everyone was fed up, and we got hammered at home 3-1 by Villa, right?
I heard
60,000 people booing and criticising Wenger, and many of them calling for him to go. Mm-hmm. But apparently, you and me are now the only two people that were critical of Wenger ever or doubted him, right?
Yeah.
Well, I heard 60,000 voices that day doing exactly the same things. My message to Arsenal fans is be a little bit more honest. There's nothing wrong in us looking at Ramsey last season, for example, and seeing a player who clearly was not playing well and saying he's not playing well.
Yeah.
And this season, watching a guy who is on fire and saying, brilliant. The guy clearly, clearly reacted well to the criticism. It's always guff about
how
if you criticise players, it ruins them. In some players, it makes them.
Well, he's brilliant at the moment.
Thank you for the criticism.
Can I say, Piers, we've got to move on to the book, man.
Exactly. What I'd like is a thank you from Wenger and Aaron
too.
Ramsey.
Me too.
I don't think it's too much to ask.
Have you spoken to Arsene Wenger in the last season or two?
I haven't. No, I used to get on very well with Wenger, yeah. And I've always liked him personally. It's never been about him as a man or a character. I think he's a fantastic guy. He's brilliantly intelligent. Yeah. He's erudite. He's charming. I've always liked him personally. I just really, the tipping point for me was the Van Persie signing. It would have been like selling Thierry Henry to Manchester United, or you, Wrighty, to Manchester United, or Dennis Bergkamp. You cannot sell your best strikers to the immediate supposed rivals and let them win the league. You just can't do it. So I lost patience with Wenger, and I thought that he had lost the stomach and the fight. Now, let's not get too carried away here. We've had a reasonably easy run of games so far against teams I would expect us to beat. We've got some massive games coming up. Manchester City, Chelsea, Dortmund. Manchester United, Dortmund. We've got a very big 4 or 5 weeks. Let's see how we are at the end of that. Yeah. And let's see if come January, Wenger, emboldened by what he's done with Ozil, and he must see the effect he's had on the fans, on everything, right? Yeah. I want to see him get in the transfer market again in January and buy a genuinely world-class striker. Because Giroud, I think, is a very good player, but I don't think he's in the category of Van Persie or a Suarez or any of those guys. And I think we need one of those. And then, with the midfield strength that we now have, with an increasingly confident defence, with a goalkeeper who looks more solid by each game, I start to believe we've got a real chance of winning the title and other trophies.
I've got to say, just before we do move on, Van Persie's got to be looking across, feeling a little bit like, wow, they're looking pretty good.
I do hope so.
Anyway, Piers, I've got to say...
Well, you remember that quote from Van Persie about the little boy inside me now is screaming, get me out of here.
The little boy inside changed his mind again. I've got to say, the book, tell me about the book, Shooting Straight, out on Monday, Piers, covers your life in that period when you took over from the legend. I'm not sure people know too much about him over here, Larry King. The legend, juggernaut legend of interviewing. Larry King, what's the pressure like doing that, Piers? An Englishman, a tough
huge
like
pressure.
Yourself.
I mean, I tell the story in the book, and I got the job, and it all seemed very exciting and stuff, but I still have 4 or 5 months to go before I went on air. And I remember having a big New Year's Eve in New York, and actually with Deck from Anton Deck and a few friends like that came over, and we had a great night, all got riotously drunk. And then the next morning, very hungover, I walked down to Times Square in New York, and I just saw this absolutely gigantic billboard, like 150 feet high, and I realised it was me. No. And it just said, lights, camera, action. Uh-oh. Piers Morgan tonight starts on, and I thought, I looked at it, I was like, wow, okay, this is real. And this is scary. Anything could happen here. But no, I'm on air 3 years later. It's been a great ride. Brilliant. The book is diaries, like the ones I've done before in Britain. And it's a pretty compelling account of all these amazing news stories I covered, from the death of Osama bin Laden to Gaddafi to
What's the best interview you've done, though?
I think the Dalai Lama, because he's just like me and you, right? He's never had a drink.
He's just like
never had a drink,
you,
never taken drugs, never smoked, never had sex, never watched TV, never watched movies.
It's a crime.
Never even listens to music. He could be, honestly, like me and you. But he was a fascinating guy. And I'll tell you the most exciting thing of my week, right? I had the book launch in New York on Wednesday.
Thierry
and
Poppin?
My guest of honour was one other than Thierry Henry, who was my guest of honour. Nobody else at the party knew who the hell he was, but I made a speech and said, this guy is one of my all-time heroes, along with you, Wrighty, and Dennis. And it was great to see him. And I had a good chat with him before, actually, about the state of Arsenal. And
what was he saying?
He was purring about...
He must be pleased.
Well, he said that Ozil's the nearest thing to Bergkamp, he said he's seen. He said because he's got an incredible vision and extraordinary time on the ball, which Dennis used to have, and he has the killer passing. And you saw that today. I mean, Ozil scored 2 great goals, but the passing that was going on all the time, the high-speed, high-technique passing was so like Bergkamp, and you know that because he used to be on the receiving end of Bergkamp.
It was a nice
ability. But he also said, which I thought was a very good point, that Flamini has also been, and again, you know, when we signed Flamini, I looked at his record in Milan in the last few seasons, very injury-prone. And I know he went off today, but I think that's just a bit of concussion. But very injury prone, only played about 20 games.
Yeah.
You know, I still hadn't quite forgiven him for leaving us when he did. And I thought,
me too.
I thought
it was stupid to leave us when he did.
Yeah, I thought maybe he'd lost.
No, Piers, that was the beginning of us losing the kind of player that we should have been.
Yeah, I just thought that Flamini was a guy, one of the many that left us. I mean, I said to Thierry, the Invincibles, we basically got rid of them within 18 months, which seemed absolutely crazy to me. Almost the entire Invincibles team left within 18 months. And, you know, I've always said this to you, that I felt at the time that we just hadn't replaced those tall, powerful, skillful footballers with like for like. What we replaced them with were lighter, smaller players who, when we played against Chelsea in particular and teams who were big, muscly teams, we would get smashed off the ball. Now, I thought today, for the first time, I actually looked at our team and I thought, man for man, we look pretty powerful out there. You look at players like Wilshere and, you know, these are big boys and they're getting stuck in. I like that.
Can Robert Pires. You mean, Robert Pires at halftime, people were so happy to see him.
He's brilliant.
And he was one of those.
Well, Pires, I mean, you know, whenever, I don't know about you, Rice, whenever I get bored at night, I put on the Invincibles DVD or I go back to your era and I watch it. But the Invincibles team, really, you look at the players that we had then of Lundberg, Pires, Bergkamp, Omri, Vieira. I mean, it was just, we were blessed.
I watched the game the other day. Remember the Portsmouth? And when Portsmouth, when Thierry,
it when was they
the
game clapped
when,
Thierry
when the clapped it, and Thierry said it is the best support he's ever heard. Portsmouth. I watched that game the other day. I think it was 5-0 or something. And that was me.
Thierry, you know, he just, in fact, he told me a great story actually, which I think you'll like. When he came back and played those 6 weeks for us again, you know, last year, and he scored against Leeds in that amazing cup win, and everyone went crazy. But I said to him, what was it like for you, Thierry? Because, you know, for us, it was like this incredible moment of watching a great legend returning. And he said, well, for me, he said, when I scored the goal and won the game, he said, I went to the dressing room, and I was still sitting there at 1 o'clock in the morning until one of the ground staff came in and said, Thierry, you've got to go, mate. We've got to shut the place up. We've got to lock the doors. And he said, only then did he get up and walk out because he said he just didn't want to leave the moment, the ground, anything. I thought that was an amazing thing.
But Piers, I've got to ask you, the elephant in the room. Can't say monkey.
The monkey in the room.
Just can't say it anymore. I was going to ask you a little bit about the Piers, just quickly on the Roy Hodgson. Why would a newspaper, the day after such a brilliant achievement, why would they do a story where they're really trying to imply something that is not really true?
Sales?
Well, I think that's the with respect to you, Roddy, I think that's the wrong question. I would ask a different question. I would say, you know, obviously, a newspaper that is handed that information, where Roy Hodgson has used a pretty inappropriate joke. Now, I personally don't think he's got a racist bone in his body, but I think it was an inappropriate and unfortunate phrase that he used, and so I understand why the newspaper did what they did, and I have no problem with that. I have a big problem with who told them that. It must have been one of the players.
Well, it was one of the players.
So one of the England players. It has to be, because otherwise it wouldn't have got out. So one of those players has deliberately tried to knife Roy Hodgson, and I find that unacceptable.
Well, no, he tells someone from his... I mean, isn't the word that he tells someone from his family and they then went to the newspaper, so it wasn't a direct thing.
Yeah, but like, at the end of the day, you're right.
The best teams... Yeah, I mean, look, Roy probably wishes he hadn't said it because he didn't think it through. He didn't realise it could potentially, to some people, be seen as inappropriate. I don't think he's remotely racist.
No.
And I think that the whole thing got out of hand. It's a bit like with Jack Wilshere's comments about the foreign players the week before. I think if Jack had his time again, I suspect he'd phrase it in a different way.
Just
my position on this, I think the correct position, I think, is this. Is that if you have parents, say you're Kevin Peterson, England cricketer, right?
Like the guy many you love Africans so before, much.
You've got an English. His mother's English. You know, Kevin's mother's English, and he was actually the victim of a system in South Africa which was designed to be kind of
positive discrimination,
anti-apartheid, where you had to have at least four black players in a team. So he couldn't get into his state team, Natal, so he decided to take up the UK residency option because his mother's English. I've got no problem with that.
What you've got to say is that, so if they don't have the positive discrimination, he's gonna play for them. Why didn't he wait? He's a world-class player. Why didn't he wait? You're saying that that's the only reason he's come and played for England, because of that. It's just, so we're second choice.
No, I don't think it was the only reason, but I think he felt that he was never going to achieve his ambition because of a system which, by the way, I don't particularly have a massive problem with. I think it was something that South Africa probably had to do
to recover
from the horrors of apartheid, right? But you know, I know that you and I are a thing about this, but here's the point. If you take your position and Jack's original position, that only if you're born in England can you play for England, then John Barnes would never have played for England. You know, Letizia would never have played for England. There's all sorts of players who would never have played for England who entitled to play for England. Andrew Strauss was England captain for Kevin Peterson for the last few years. He was born in Zimbabwe.
Jonathan,
ways that you could...
Can we say, in respect to the John Barnes, just a quick one on the John Barnes one. Now, John Barnes, I think he ended up with 79 caps. We will remember him for the Brazilian goal. Now, yes, you know, he's born in Jamaica. He was play. He was here when he was 12, 13, and then he chose to play for England. But if he chose to play for Jamaica, do you think that the way it went for him, I was playing in a lot of the games with John Barnes and being in where he was getting booed and that. Do you think that he could have done more for his own country than what he's done for England in the end?
Well, maybe, but, you know, he made his choice, and I think he's perfectly entitled to it. The problem I have with it is when there is absolutely no family link to England whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So this United kid that they plays for Belgium, he has absolutely no connection with England whatsoever, other than he happens to play for Manchester United here. He's got no family connection. He's got no mother or grandparent who's English. And so this five-year qualification rule, I think, is flawed, because I don't think you should just be able to come to England and spend 5 years here if you have literally... not an English bone in any of your family's body. And
Jack,
I think that's
saying.
Where the problem is. I think if the debate starts from that, because otherwise you can see very quickly that people will cheat the system. They'll go scouting for the world's best young players and they'll bring them to England for 5 years and say they're English. Well, I don't think that works. But at the same time, you shouldn't be barred from playing for England simply because, I mean, John Terry, wasn't it? No, it was Terry Butcher.
Terry Butcher.
Was born in Singapore.
English parents.
Now, you know,
English
soil.
More
English than Terry Butcher. He was born on an army camp or something, right?
Army base. Yes. English army base.
English sovereignty.
Right. Sovereign. But you know what, Piers?
Yeah, but by your strict rule, he wouldn't be able to play for England, which would be ridiculous.
Well, to be honest, I see him as an Englishman. At the end of the day, I don't see Kevin Peterson as an Englishman.
But he was born in Singapore. So if your position is a rigid,
you've got to
be born in England.
It's not rigid,
get Terry Butcher.
I said it's not rigid. I say ideally, you'd want people to be from England. But there's cases like that one, for instance. And you know what? To a certain extent, if Kevin Peterson's one, with his mum being born in England and him wanting to play for England before. The what they were doing in there over there with the positive discrimination stuff, then fine, because I know that he wants to play for England because he wants to and he loves it. That's what I want. I just want people to play who love it and love the country.
I can tell you, I know Kevin well. You will not meet a more patriotic guy as an England sportsman than Kevin Peterson. He has the three lions tattooed on his arm, and he is unbelievably loyal and patriotic to England.
And so are you to him.
His mother was born in England. He's perfectly entitled to do this.
Well, absolutely right. Listen, Piers, I'm looking forward to the book. Sounds great. If it's anything like you are when you're on the radio, I can't wait to read it.
Well, I named it after you, right? You're shooting straight.
Hey, well, you know, hey, I don't want to argue with that. I won't argue with that. But Piers, I love you.
Oh, he's going to be a nightmare.
I love you,
for
Piers.
The rest of the show. Good God.
Take it easy. Piers, have a good one. And good luck with the book, man. You're the best.
And remember, Righty, we are top of the league. I want to hear you say that every 5 minutes. So any United fans listening never get a chance to forget it.
Top man, Piers. We are top of the league. You heard it there from Piers Morgan. What can I say? You get it from him straight.
Shooting straight.